From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Love and Seek True Wisdom. The text is Proverbs 8, verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Wisdom loves her lovers and seeks her seekers. He is already wise who seeks to be wise, and he has almost found wisdom who diligently seeks her. What is true of wisdom in general is especially true of wisdom embodied in our Lord Jesus. Him we are to love and to seek, and in return we shall enjoy His love and find Himself. Our business is to seek Jesus early in life. Happy are the young whose morning is spent with Jesus. It is never too soon to seek the Lord Jesus. Early seekers make certain finders. We should seek Him early by diligence. Thriving tradesmen are early risers, and thriving saints seek Jesus eagerly. Those who find Jesus to their enrichment give their hearts to seeking Him. We must seek Him first, and thus earliest. Above all things, Jesus. Jesus first, and nothing else, even as a bad second. The blessing is that He will be found. He reveals Himself more and more clearly to our search. He gives Himself up more fully to our fellowship. Happy men who seek one who, when he is found, remains with them forever, a treasure growingly precious to their hearts and understandings. Lord Jesus, I have found thee. Be found of me to an unutterable degree of joyous satisfaction.
Thank you.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, "The Gospel According to Paul in a Nutshell," part of this series in the book of Romans. The text is chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. Dr. Cairns called verse 21 of chapter 3 the hinge of history. With the words, "But now," Paul begins to explain how God can justify sinners and remain true to his righteous character. The answer is found in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the just wrath of God fell as he hung on the cross as the substitute for guilty sinners. Paul had experienced God's saving power firsthand, and it thrilled his soul. This is the message he preached all over the then-known world. It is the only message that provides the solution to man's sin and guilt. But in order to be saved, each man must recognize that before God he is a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. To deny this is to be lost forever. For as Paul wrote to Timothy, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Gospel in a Nutshell.
Over here, when a young fellow's thinking of taking the plunge into that great, I was going to say the great abyss, but I meant the great happiness of marriage. He will go out and he'll buy an engagement ring, and you know, he does it, and then he comes and he presents. It's a big surprise. Of course, all the time he's been, the strings have been pulled, and you know, he's been put in place. Over in our part of the world, usually you'll take the girl with you. I was so good, I was away preaching a gospel mission, I sent Joan her own, and she actually got to pick her own ring. As long as it wasn't over $10, she could have whatever she wanted. Many a time, in those days especially, when you didn't own a car, you could hardly have afforded a scooter, and I mean the type that the kids have now, you put one foot on and push with the other foot, you'd walk around the town and you'd look into the jewelers and see the rings you could never afford to buy. But you know, they all looked wonderful. And on every occasion, the jeweler took his diamond and his gold and he set it in a dark backing. And the blacker the backing, the more brilliant the gem. The gospel takes man's sin, makes no apologies about how vile it is. If I had the tongue of an archangel tonight, I could not describe your sin or my sin as black and as vile as it really is. Could I describe your sin and my sin as God sees it? Our faces would burn with shame. The devils in hell are not more depraved than we. And then against that background, now the righteousness of God has been revealed, not to damn you and destroy you, but to justify you and to save you. A righteousness provided by God. And as we go down this chapter, we'll see at what a price. Do you see those words later? Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, to be a sacrifice, to endure and put away the wrath of God against our sin. Provided by God, acceptable to God, and available from God. This is the glad news, and this is what the gospel tells sinners. And that then it tells them, listen, all this is by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, I want to make this clear because there's a lot of misconstrued thinking here. You are not saved on account of your faith. Understand that. You are not saved on account of your faith. You're saved on account of the righteous merits of Christ. Faith is not righteousness. God does not consider your faith to be righteousness. God does not transmute your faith into righteousness. God does not deal with you as if your faith were righteousness. Faith is rather the instrument. It is the hand of a dying man that reaches up to receive the gift of life. When it says you're justified by faith, It simply means faith receives what God provides. Nor is it faith in general. That's the gospel of today, the pseudo-gospel. Doesn't really matter which God you believe in as long as you believe. Science or pseudoscience, I'm not quite sure which. Some scientists at least say they have found the God gene. The God gene. Now, I have no difficulty in believing that in the genetic structure of man, he is made to be dependent upon God and to acknowledge God. But the whole theory is it doesn't really matter which God you believe in, as long as you believe in God. People of faith, as long as you have faith, it does you ever so much good. Doctors tell us that you heal better if you're a person of faith. Again, you might believe in Satan, you might believe in Jehovah, you might believe in Allah, you might believe in witchcraft, you might believe in anything. As long as you believe. But that's not the gospel of the New Testament. You're not saved by faith. You're not justified by faith, period. You're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the exclusive object of saving faith. In other words, it doesn't matter what a man believes. Now, don't misunderstand or misconstrue what I'm saying, as if there were no difference in these things. But I'm talking about as to his ultimate destiny. Whether you believe that Bible is the inspired word of God, or whether you believe it's a bunch of fairy tales. If you believe the latter, you're a fool and a liar. But we'll not get into that tonight. But it doesn't matter if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus. You can be in hell along with everybody else confessing. That is the book of God. For there's not a soul in hell has any doubt of it. Doesn't matter what you believe. If you have not personal faith in Jesus Christ, you're not justified. For justification, the reception of the gift of righteousness unto life eternal, is by faith in Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Do you remember his famous words in John 3? God so loved the world, we all know that one. The next verse, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might perceive it. Not so many know that one. But what about the next verse? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what led Paul in Galatians 2:16 to say, knowing that a man is justified by faith, not by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That's it. This is the essence of the gospel. I want you to get it tonight. You're a sinner, and so am I. As foul, as filthy, as wicked, as hell-deserving as a sinner can be. Now, if you're stuck there, if your pride stops you from acknowledging that, you can't be saved. I was reading about an evangelist who had big, big campaigns in many parts of the United States and saw thousands of people come to profess faith in Christ. I must say, I do not personally like some of his beliefs and some of his practices. But one thing he always wanted people to do when they came out in his campaigns, first thing he wanted them in their prayer to the Savior, to God Almighty, to say, Lord, I am a dirty, rotten, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. That was the start. And this woman came out. She said, I want to be saved. Well, let's start. Lord, I am a dirty, rotten, filthy, hell-deserving sinner. She was absolutely quiet. He said, what's wrong? She said, but I'm not a dirty, filthy sinner. She says, well, then you can't be saved. Well, sit down. But I want to be saved. But you can't be saved. But I want to be saved. Well, you can't be saved. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then she said, but I'm a good sinner. And he said, Madam, go and sit down. There's no such thing as a good sinner. And you can't be saved. Until God gives you grace to see I am a dirty, vile, and guilty sinner. He was right. In her case, it worked wonders because she realized, yes, I'm just a proud sinner too. Broken at the thought of her pride, she called on God for mercy. We're sinners. If you're content to live in your sin, then you'll die in your sin. A lot of people want to live in their sin, but they don't want to die in their sin. Didn't Christ save the dying thief? Well, he did, but he didn't save the other one. Can he save you in your deathbed? He can save you on your deathbed. But here's a sobering thought. When I look at the vast number of people who profess faith in life and live to prove that there was nothing to their profession of faith at all, I have great worries about many who make professions on their deathbed. Oh, he's able to save you anytime. But he says, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. You want to live in sin? Then you'll die in sin. But if tonight in your heart there's a desire, I want God's answer for my sin, then this is it. God's answer is not a band-aid. It's not a painkiller. It's not a cover-up. God's answer is to meet your sin head-on and say, here is righteousness. I will, and I'll take time as time goes on through these next couple of weeks to expand on this, I will take away all the sin. I will wash you whiter than snow. That's pardon. But you realize even that wouldn't get you to heaven. You need more than pardon. You need righteousness. You need to have something that is as perfect as Christ. Where are you going to get that? You'll get it in Christ. And you'll get it from Christ by faith alone in Him. This is the essence of the gospel. As Isaiah put it, the testimony of every Christian He has clothed me. Clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's what the gospel's all about. See the blackness of your sin. See the sparkling beauty of the righteous merits of Christ. And hear what the apostle says. This righteousness is by faith of or in Jesus Christ. May God show us the beauty of the Savior and give the grace to close with Christ and take Him as your personal righteousness.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.